welcome to a brief message before I say hello and welcome to Tink Tank. We're excited to announce a line of stickers and pins and other merchandise based around the content of our episodes. Every penny of profit from this merchandise is going to be donated to the Black Art Futures Fund, who is promoting the elevation and preservation of black arts and culture.
All of these designs are original illustrations by my own sister, Sarah Cullinan. You can find her on Instagram at sarah.cullinan. And you can find the designs on Redbubble. Our shop name is Tink Tank. You can find it redbubble.com/people/TinkThank. The link will be in the show notes, and it is also on our Instagram.
And without further ado...
Hello, and welcome to Tink Tank, the show where we take a deep dive into a theme and explore its connections to parts of media we each bring to the table. I'm Gabe.
I'm Claire.
And I'm James.
So...
Wait,
I just want to say...
Excuse you.
What?
Geriatric.
Oh.
Catastrophic.
Jubilee.
Anyways.
So sorry.
The audacity.
I want to say we're welcoming our guest Claire today. She has been on the podcast before.
She has.
You may know Claire from... That's Claire.
Nice to talk to you all again.
Yeah, and likewise, nice to have you in with a voice, no less.
Hoping she'd communicate with Morse code, just hitting a bowl with a knife.
Oh, that would be a bonus episode.
I would have to learn Morse code first.
Fair.
Or otherwise, I think it could be fun for me to not know Morse code.
Oh, just hitting stuff out.
And guess and communicate with percussion.
And that would fit. You just be like, figure out what I mean.
I was rewatching BBC's Sherlock with Benedict Cumberbatch, Martin Freeman, Apple Biz.
You would.
Yeah, I mean, I had things due, and so instead I was watching this. And the Hounds of the Baskerville episode, there is a bit where Watson believes that from the bog where they're standing, he's seeing someone signaling Morse code with a big lamp, essentially. And he sees it two or three nights and jots down what it is in Morse code because he has a military background and so he knows what it is. And I don't want to spoil it, I guess, but it turns out it wasn't, in fact. It's to your point of it being gibberish, where it was something else that was causing a light to flicker on and off.
This is like Parasite. This is the ending of... Parasite, the
spoilers.
Well, hey,
I've never actually seen Parasite. I really want to though.
I feel like
I don't have the power to watch
it.
Do you feel like I just spoiled anything for you, James, in saying that there's
no
Morse code and a light in it?
One if by day, two if by sea.
Yeah, Parasite is actually just a retelling of Paul Revere.
That's what it looked like from the commercials.
Goodness. So Claire, hello. Who are you? Tell us about yourself and the topic you chose for today. You can just say what the topic is. It doesn't have to be some grand introduction.
Right. Well, my name is Claire. My middle initial is F.
Ah.
And my last name begins with a G.
Fiona?
No, we already talked about this yesterday and...
Fiona Grandstand. Is that your full name?
God, I wish. anyways, my topic that I chose today is... the topic of kids, children, the
child.
And related ephemera.
Yes, the bambini, as you would say.
Ah,
Italiano.
Yes, bambini. That just like sent me back. The place where I got haircuts growing up as like a young child was called Bambinos.
Ooh.
And it was badass because instead of sitting in a chair to get your haircut, they had two or three basically like chairs that were shaped like vehicles, like you might put a quarter in to ride type of thing.
But that's also badass because it's just grammatically incorrect.
They didn't care. Strangely,
no, you don't say bambinos.
Bambini.
You wouldn't make it. I think actually it might have been possessive, which is still wrong. Like they're mixing Latin and English there, or Latin, Jesus, Italian and English there. It's early. It's not early, but feels like it's early.
This is the earliest in the day we ever recorded an episode.
That's true. Yeah, normally we're recording at like 7 or 8 a.m. and we're a little bit earlier than that.
Yeah, we're not going to tell the audience that it's 11:30.
Ish.
And we're all tired.
Yeah, well, we're warming up.
Say love you.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite Italian phrases. Bambinos though, getting a haircut at Bambinos, that's great. Oh, that was wonderful. Hi, Mom.
Didn't you hate haircuts growing up?
I did, yeah. I also, it might have been from Bambinos. I have too much on my head right now. But I remember my first memory of a haircut isn't the haircut, but is getting home, walking past the oven in the kitchen, and seeing my reflection in the oven door, and breaking down crying because I was missing hair. And I just, like, couldn't handle it. So
I didn't know they'd take it away.
Yeah, and like not give it back. I wouldn't get to keep it. It was just like off my head, and that's
I think,
that.
I think there's something about like as a kid being like, wait, can I have it? But I remember I got blood drawn as a child. I was like, so can I have it back? Like when I was like, when you're done with the tests, can you give me the tubes of it back?
Because otherwise, I'm short on some fucking blood.
And like, and they were like, we use most of it in the testing, and I was like,
what the hell, guys.
I know that was like a big thing with teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're like, hey, can I have those when you're done with them?
Did you ever have the like really, really kind of piddly plastic tooth-shaped tooth container?
Tooth-shaped tooth container.
And no one knows where those come from.
From the dentist.
Mine was a little treasure box.
That's way cooler than
mine was
slightly larger tooth.
Yeah, it was a little treasure box that you put your tooth in.
And you'd be, it made total sense, but think about it now.
I would not want to find
a jar of teeth. That's fucking creepy.
I would not want to find. Oh no. Oh my god, that also just reminded me of a antique store in Ramona, California, that I was just looking through stuff, and there was a little sort of small box, long box, that I thought might have a pen or a straight razor or something in it.
Mm-hmm.
I open it up, and there's something wrapped in like a little bit of paper, like folded over.
Yeah.
That written on it says, in like beautiful cursive, clearly with a dip pen, Dad's hair, 1866.
Ah.
And I opened it up, and it was just a few locks of hair.
That's sweet.
And I could have purchased that.
Just like, this is the rod that went through.
Yeah, this is the rod that went through Phineas Gage's head.
I found some of my hair in like it wasn't even a scrapbook. It would be cool.
Wait, I have two actually.
Like from, I don't even know if it was a first haircut. It's just in a bag. It's just in a bag that has a bow still on it. And it's just Claire's hair, like 2001.
Claire's hair.
Yeah, no, I found that too, like in a box of like old stuff about my childhood.
It's the weirdest thing that parents keep.
Like, yeah. It's in there with my birth certificate.
Yeah, I want that. I want that. Maybe some like fun artwork or something. But no, it's always like my hair.
Yeah.
The first skin cell you lost, like.
Right. Yeah, we grafted some of your skin just to keep it for the future. Like, oh.
Should we do some facts?
Oh yeah, I suppose. I mean, I guess all this is an injunction. Like, hey, if you're any one of our parents and you're keeping any of this shit, like, can you let us know so we can find and destroy it?
Yeah, that's... that or just hide it and never let.
Yeah, yeah. All the alternatively, make sure I never find out if I don't currently know about it. Yeah, fast facts. Anyone want to start with a fast fact about kids?
I'll start with a fast fact about kids.
Take it away.
So. Children in the legal system are referred to as minors, right?
Not the same.
As the pickaxe.
Minors, yeah.
The pickaxe dwarves. we all thought the same thing right now, and no one's going to say it.
God.
Yes, anyways. I found out that whatever country you're in, like the age you turn that defines you as a legal adult, like for us it's 18, is referred to as the age of majority, which I found interesting. Meaning, in America or anywhere like when you're under that age, you are a minor. Thus, once you cross that threshold, you are a major.
I dig it.
Discuss.
That's 1 minute on the clock. I don't feel like a major.
We're all majors.
Yeah, but I don't feel like.
That just
a
makes
major.
Me think of that song from the Pirates of Penzance.
Oh, Modern Major General.
Modern Major General.
A little bit of Gilbert and Sullivan before noon. I don't know if that's right.
Well, I learned that from VeggieTales. VeggieTales did a cover of that, and that would be on our, like...
That's probably why I know it.
It'd be
that's
on a CD
funny.
In our car when we went on road trips. We just listened to VeggieTales CDs, and that's how I learned that song. And when I found out that it wasn't from VeggieTales,
oh, that's
it was from something
heart-wrenching.
Else.
Heart-wrenching. I cried.
Yeah. That's that tune for that, Tom Lehrer, the comedic piano player and satirist and so forth, he's the guy who sang the Periodic Table of Elements. Like, if you've ever heard a version of that, he sings it to the same tune. As Modern Major General, but he's just listing all of the elements.
Damn.
We got 10 seconds.
We're at you at home, if you're over 18, you're a major, and you have to deal with that.
Major?
Major?
I salute you.
It's funny, because both James and I actually saluted here in person, but Claire did not. That's a minute.
Yeah,
I
well, they don't know that.
Claire effectively did more for them at home, because it's an audio-only art.
Hey. Don't tell me how to do my job. I'm a major, damn it.
I'm a major.
Claire, do you have a fact or do you want me to dispense with the fact?
I do. You know, when you're a child, many other children in your elementary school, they just throw up for no reason.
This is true. I can't believe we're not all going to talk about this for an hour.
All the time. You're just like, you're at recess one day and you come back and you're doing math, you're doing like your times tables and a kid just vomits. And I had an aversion to that growing up.
Strange.
You know, shouldn't we all? But I only recently found out a week ago that I had a legit phobia. It's called emetophobia. It is the intense fear of vomiting. Like, that stuff would make me spiral.
Wow. 1 minute on the clock. That's...
Yeah. This is... I mean, Claire, you've told me this multiple times, but it's so funny because the second someone says that, it instantly throws you back and you go... Oh yeah, everyone was throwing
kids
up.
Kids did do that.
Everyone was throwing up.
Now, imagine having a phobia.
Right?
Yeah. Because like, not just an aversion, a legit phobia.
Yeah, like everyone thinks it's gross, but like, Claire, this is just from you telling me.
Yeah.
Really, genuinely, like, and when someone would throw up randomly in class, you were like, you needed to leave.
Well, it was like I was having an 8-year-old panic attack. Like,
I mean,
it was,
yeah.
Like, violently shaking, like.
Even more when you don't realize what it is that's causing that.
Yeah.
And this is funny, but it's not funny because it was awful for you. But the fact that the Claire would start to freak out, and the solution was take her to the nurse,
right.
Where the vomiting,
which
is
where the vomiting kid was.
No.
Nobody seemed to understand but me. I'd be like, I can't go to the nurse.
Don't make me face that font of refuse.
I would
I'm not
be begging, and they would all make me go.
They're like,
that's a minute.
Sorry,
the rules is rules. Thank you for that, though. That's a wonderful anecdote. Oh, that's great. I'm really glad we already ate. I don't know if that's better or worse.
Yeah, just so everyone knows, we're sitting around here. We all have Irish breakfast tea, and we have, what are these called?
German wafers?
Yeah, German wafers is the best. It's Desiree. Whatever you can find in the Midwestern United States in the imported food section
of Meijer.
Yeah, what was the other? There was something in there that was, it was like roasted red peppers or something in a jar.
Yes,
that
that's
was
where
part
I got
of the
those.
Like fancy imported foods,
mm-hmm.
Which is hey, maybe it is, but I found it a little bit humorous. Yeah, so my fast fact, as it often tends to do with etymology and kid, when it stopped meaning baby goat, essentially, like it started
mm-hmm.
to also mean child. And it had a use in something called thieves' camps, which is more what the fact is about, to mean, like, yeah.
Is that not what my character in Dungeons & Dragons speaks?
It is exactly that. Yes, it is. So the fact is mostly about, because kid comes from, like, to be kidding someone is partially like to be treating them like a child, but it also means to do sort of raucous thievery type stuff is to kid.
For all you at home, my Dungeons & Dragons character is a rogue. A rogue named Bint Naughton.
She's not lying. But yeah, so briefly, the concept of thieves' cant, which is essentially a secret language used among thieves and hustlers and so forth in Great Britain, mostly Great Britain. Unfortunately, it's not really much of a thing anymore. I mean, fortunate in that it probably means there is less of that kind of crime, but unfortunate from like a linguistic history perspective. So, thieves camp kid, that's kidnapping as well, because like nap may have something to do with nab, may have something to do with thieves camp, but anyways, minute.
I just like, so it's thieves cant?
C-A-N-T, yeah.
Yeah, like your cantation, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
not
I just
like
think
I don't actually know if that's
that makes more sense.
Let's poke around.
Oh, okay.
I just enjoy the thieves cant, but also I'm glad you told everyone that your character's name is Bimp Naughton.
It is.
Bimp Naughton?
Yeah, you should know this.
Everyone says it differently.
Yeah, well, they're all wrong.
I know. And
we
what?
Can
you're,
all be wrong.
And you are, Gabe, you are Srig.
Srig, the one true.
The one true
Srig.
Am I the only one who can? Well, am I the only one who can speak thieves' cant?
I believe
I think
so.
That's so exciting.
My character's name is Who Does.
It is.
Who Does?
I've been anxiously awaiting.
It seems to have just briefly nothing, not nothing to do with cantation, but more to do with cantare, which as someone who speaks, Italian, it means like to sing.
Yeah.
To sing speak is more
which
likely.
Is relative.
Which cantation or incantation may also have a relationship.
I think it
too,
comes from that.
But cantation to cant
probably
isn't.
Like, what, like a Latin root or something?
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, chanter, I'm not going to say it right in Old French and then Latin cantare.
The Old French.
But that's a minute. Wonderful.
Indeed.
So, do you have a strong preference, Claire, of going for second or third? I'm going to defer to that if so.
Oh, a second.
Wonderful. James, do you have a strong preference for going first?
I think I should go first.
Excellent.
Because I've got the general thing that will ease us into the topic.
Of kids.
Of children. Childs. Kids.
Childs.
Kids.
The Bambinos.
Baby goats.
Bambinos.
That's the episode name.
Bambinos?
What, episode 9? Whatever something.
10.
Episode
11. 11.
Fuck. Bambinos.
It can't be Bambinos because then my topic doesn't belong. It has to be kids. Anyways.
Wait, aren't they the same?
No, go on.
They're not.
Okay. So I would like to talk about a television program entitled Kid Nation.
Woo! Woo! Put in like a Lone Star sound effect and some
bam. Kid Nation aired on CBS in 2007. It was hosted by Jonathan Karsh. Gabe, Claire, and I all know about it, and we watched some of it last night, which is what led to this topic, so we won't do much explanation. We'll just discuss the weirdness of it. But the basic premise is Jonathan Karsh took 40 children. They volunteered, technically, but their parents volunteered them.
That's part of the unethical nature of it to me.
40 children aged 8 to 15. The oldest was 15. The youngest was 8 years old.
That's a third grader.
Wild. He took 40 children aged 8 to 15, and they put them in an abandoned, like a ghost town, which was called Bonanza City.
They put them next to the ghost town.
That's true.
They put them a few miles away.
That's true.
It's just the middle of the desert.
Yeah. So the premise was these 40 children in New Mexico. Yes. They were put in this ghost town, and they had to survive 40 days by themselves, no adults. Oldest was 15. Like, that's it. And that was the premise. They just had to survive. But yes, the opening episode, it starts with, like, they all get dropped off on a bus, and Jonathan Karsh goes, "Hello, children. next to you, you will see 4 or 5 wagons full of supplies you will need to survive the next 40 days. This is everything we're giving you." And he says, "The town you have to live in is a few miles that way."
And just points down a dusty road.
So 8-year-olds are carting supplies miles
and
to a town.
And it's not like a little cart. It's like this would be, you would hook up a whole donkey a horse.
Yes.
Instead, it's a 15-year-old kid pushing it.
I also, on the Wikipedia, I learned that Bonanza City, New Mexico, is 8 miles south of Santa Fe, which just the song Santa Fe from Newsies really applies. Santa Fe. And then just for brief addition to the facts. So I learned every children. So all 40 children, they were paid $5,000 for being on this show. Like, that was their payment. And regardless of how long you could stay. So this was the premise.
Okay.
You were put there, the 40 kids had to survive for 40 days.
Every
3 days. The sense of time is really warped.
Yeah. There are 13 episodes, so 13th of 40.
Yeah, basically.
Every that many days, they would have a town meeting where anyone could elect to leave, like no punishment whatsoever. You could just get up and they would send you home. And it wasn't like
to your parents.
Yeah, to your parents at home.
To sleep in your
and
own
it,
bed.
It wasn't like you had to vote someone off every time. It's like, no, you only left if you wanted to. So everyone got paid $5,000 for being on the show, regardless of when you left. So meaning, like, Jimmy, the kid who left on day 4, he got paid the same
as... The first opportunity to leave, notably.
Yeah, he got paid the same as anyone who stuck it out to day 40.
That's probably wise. He's a smart man.
But also at every town meeting, every, like, 3 days... one kid would receive a golden star that was worth $20,000.
It was literally just a chunk of gold.
Absolutely bananas.
And according to the Wikipedia, I think maybe later in the season, they kicked up because it says gold stars valued at $20,000 and $50,000 were awarded.
Whoa.
Or maybe the council got those. I don't know. We haven't watched the whole show. So every like 3-4 days, someone would get $20,000. So everyone got paid $5,000. And you had a chance to win more.
So if this sounds like a good deal, let's talk about some of the living conditions.
Let's. So again, 40 children living by themselves, and I just have to read this direct quote from the Wikipedia. Speaking before an audience of television reviewers, producer Tom Foreman acknowledged that Kid Nation would inevitably share some elements with William Golding's novel Lord of the Flies.
Inevitably. I get that they might have to... Speaking of which, like in the second to last episode that we watched, they straight up, and to the credit of the kid who did it, like, wow.
They killed chickens.
They killed, plucked, and cooked chickens.
This one kid, he just took a hammer.
I think it was a hatchet of some, because the head came off. Like
I thought, oh.
Yeah.
He just whacked it.
Yeah, but he, and they just get shots of these kids just like standing in a semicircle watching him on this like tree stump. Just live chicken, hold it down, chop the head off. And yeah. They're just watching this in, you know, distraught. So yeah, obviously so there are some adults in
yes,
there.
Yes, so there are 40 kids there. They've all been given enough supplies to survive 40 days. That's all we're really told.
But have they? In the beginning, they had one outhouse and one pump for water that was like
yeah.
a mile away.
Yeah.
Theoretically, they've been given enough food. But they have to cook everything themselves. Like, they don't get food that they don't make. Like, they literally... Mm-hmm. Like, as I know you're at home, you're thinking, like, oh, it's a reality TV, but they get helped.
Yeah, when the camera stopped,
they did not
food.
Get
yeah.
helped. Like, in interviews later, people, like, they said, like, every now and then, like, if it was really drastic or something, like, maybe
yeah.
they'd let us shower. But
yeah. or, like,
they, like, did
the
not
main,
get helped.
Like, hydration was the main thing. If you can't have kids passing out, evidently.
Yes.
So they would, you know, sneak them water or something.
And yes, and adults were present off camera during production, including cameramen, producers, a medic, and... a child psychologist.
Oh my gosh.
Who,
and so,
how do you
so and a child psychologist, but the best part of that sentence is, although all of them interacted with the children as little as possible.
Okay, how bad does that child psychologist have to be at her job or their job?
This is okay. I'm going to let this happen. Only
so
come
like,
to me if
yeah,
you're super distressed.
Just like, this is my job, but I'm just going to watch it happen for fun. For fun.
But yeah, I feel like there's a... You gotta, I don't know what the process of becoming a child psychologist is like, but I feel like it would go against something that you're taught, right? Like,
mm-hmm. And yeah, and apparently all the kids had to miss a month of school.
I love that it was just during the fucking school year.
Yeah, but
like,
Tom,
they're somewhere in New Mexico, like,
yeah.
you can't just stick them in there in July. Like,
no, they can't. And it's also freezing at some point. So they're wearing winter coats. At one point, their only water source for the town
froze. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. They need to figure out how to fix it.
To their credit, assuming there was not producer intervention, they brilliantly thought to use what little water they had, heat it up, pour it on the frozen pump to get it working again.
And it worked,
Which was like, damn, good for these kids.
But
the thing that I can't get over is how they keep, like, trying to, whatever, tempt these kids. They'll be like, all right, guys, we have a surprise for you.
Yes.
Guys. Either you can have, like, more bathrooms or more water. Or you can have something like a TV or a water slide.
Yeah, so they have these like group challenges, and if every team finishes on time... Oh, we should talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, so the feudalism.
Feudalism.
So basically,
it's awful.
They really have to run a whole town. There's like a general store, a soda shop, like, you know, the basics. there's a bunch of stuff like that, and the town is divided up into four groups. And each of those four groups is assigned a class, basically.
Yeah,
there's
so
upper class, color. Upper class, merchants,
cooks,
and then laborers.
They're right on the nose.
Upper,
with it.
Like, and they each get pay, like how much they get paid per day. Upper class gets paid $1 per day. Merchants get paid 50 cents. Cooks get paid 25 cents, and laborers get paid 10 cents. For reference of how much money that is in their economy, a root beer was 5 cents.
Yeah.
If you were a laborer, you had to clean toilets all day, and you could buy 2 root beers.
That whole day. If you were upper class, you didn't have a job, you just had to
yes.
delegate to other people, and you
Not
got a dollar.
Even. They didn't have to do that. Their, like, literal description was like, you can kind of just dick around.
And just, like, sit in the saloon and drink soda all day.
Do whatever you want.
And you make
day.
10 times as much as the laboring class. But basically,
yeah.
and... so the town is divided up into 4 groups, and then every like 4 days, those 4 groups would compete in some sort of challenge, and the winners would get to be the upper class until the next challenge, and so on and so forth. But there was always an additional element to the challenge where it was always timed, and if all 4 groups completed the challenge within like usually an hour, then the whole town would get a prize. But the prize was almost always a choice. The first choice was, all right, the town, you have won a prize. Your options are A, 7 outhouses.
We should make clear.
They only had 1. So there were 40 children using 1 outhouse, and one of the options was to get 7 more of them.
Yeah, it didn't have running water. It was just a
just an outhouse.
Yep. Basically.
And then option B was a television set. And then for the next challenge, the options were option A, like 4 or 5 more water pumps
yeah.
for the town. They only had 1 at that point.
Like right in town, you don't have to walk.
And
to
the it. Other option was a 40-foot water slide.
45-foot heated water slide, just the giant blue infinite.
So you can kind of see how the premise is like, if we put kids, like, can they survive? And then also, will they be responsible enough to pick the things they need rather than picking the fun thing.
Yeah.
And they did pick outhouses over the TV.
They did, but like, why are we testing that? Again, these are 9-year-olds. These are 9-year-olds.
Because we're abusing them for the entertainment
of
the people at home.
They should have a water slide that is heated when they are in the freezing desert of New Mexico.
Yeah.
Like, they're 9.
Yeah. And for example, like, that was the second challenge where it was water slide or more water pumps. But not all the teams completed the challenge within an hour, so they didn't get either of those things.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. That happens. Yeah, it's exceedingly problematic.
Yeah.
To say the least.
It is hilarious, though.
I mean, it's already been made, so if you watch it on YouTube, it's someone else posted it. You're in no way, shape, or form supporting the show.
Yeah, and it is weird because, like, so Gabe, you brought up, for example, they have chickens, and for the first week or so, they've been using they've been getting eggs, and you have some kids who, like, grew up on a farm, they know how to do that.
Are still growing up on farms.
Still growing up. They're 9 years old. And then what it seems like at the start of every episode, there's maybe a hint at something they might want to do from the producers, which is in terms of, like, it's given, there are 4 children that are in charge. They're still children as well, but they're in charge. So for example, at the start of episode 2, they receive a message, every time, and it's a message from the people who ran Bonanza in 1885, but those people are dead. They didn't send that message.
Also, I don't think they existed.
I don't think so either. The message is like, just so you know, chickens are good for more than just eggs. That's literally the wording.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it left it at that. And then the town council brings up to the rest of the town, like, what do we think about slaying
a few of
the chickens?
Yeah, also, we haven't discussed that the town council is just 4 arbitrarily picked
children.
Correct.
So they're not
leading
they
other. They're not even
any.
The oldest.
No, I was
going
to say, I think they're on average 11 years old.
Probably.
There's like 12, 11, maybe a 10.
Mm-hmm.
But that means there's a 15-year-old kid who has an 11-year-old kid getting in his face, telling him what to do, which
I would
naturally
hate that
doesn't go super well. Because at that age as well, that gap means so much more to you.
And it is so weird, just the disparity of they get in this fight of like, we have to kill and eat the chickens. And then first of all, someone has to do that. And one kid says like, oh, I worked in a butcher shop, I could do it. And
which
then
also,
a bunch of,
yeah,
all right?
Wait a second.
Child labor laws,
you're 15.
Buddy.
Yeah, I don't know. And then a bunch of other kids, they go into the chicken coop. And they like lock it shut, and they stage a sit-in. They're like, "You can't kill the chicken."
Yeah, they lock themselves.
And it gets so political.
It was really something. There are also a lot of really fascinating political references that the kids spout. The words that come out of their mouths are not going to say the
No,
moment,
I can't. We can't. That's the thing. The things they said. It was also 2007, and they were 9. But like,
so
we can't repeat
the
things they said.
Yeah. So it's what was going on in the news and things most likely that they heard their parents say. And
probably.
One of my favorites was one of them describing in the first episode what it's like out here. And a lot of them are saying, you know, there's nothing, that sort of thing. There's some excellent sound bites. But she's saying, I think in an attempt to say, like, this could be a, you know, this could work, this could be a new utopia.
Yeah.
It's like, out here, there's no George Bush, there's no nothing.
Yeah. There's no parents, there's no adults, there's no President Bush.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're still in America.
Also, like,
there's no President Bush.
Is he normally there when you're home? Like, I don't know. But
so yeah, that's what spawned the topic of today. Please look it up. We truly don't have more to say other than just laughing at it.
It's a lot.
I don't know if that bridges into what either of you were going to talk about.
I mean, sort of, but Claire, we had loosely established an order.
Right.
That's true.
But if you have anything else on Kid Nation, I mean, I don't know.
Yes,
wanna, don't
any final thoughts on Kid Nation?
Gonna bring to the table today was the discussion of childlike actors, like the famous children.
Mm-hmm.
Not
the ones on Kid Nation.
Not the ones on Kid Nation.
They didn't have to act.
They were just pioneers.
They were just crying.
They were crying
they were
for real. Real tears.
Those weren't.
Also, as a final thing, what I wanted to clarify, like there was the chance to win the $20,000 every couple days, and you got paid $5,000 for being there. But at the end of the 40 days, there was not like you get a final prize. It was just like, you survived.
Just tough it out.
That was it.
Keep getting chances at 20 grand.
Yeah, so that was, I wanted to end that. There was no final goal other than survive.
Well, and I think for some of them, the appeal was like, prove to the adults that kids can do things. Like,
yeah.
That's one of the
that's
pieces
true.
Of rhetoric that they say to the kids and that the kids parrot back is, like, we can do this. We can run a society.
So about these children in the media.
That's really just Do we recognize how damning that is to a child's like life? I was gonna bring up some examples, but now I need to look it up because my thoughts were my thoughts went a little bit rampant, and now I'm remembering this HBO documentary that I saw about a month ago. Children, I'm googling it. Child stars. Just kidding. That was my Notre Dame health check that just opened. HBO documentary.
So is this, when you say damning, is it like because later in life the footage crops back up, or like the literal experience
the
of
literal
being a child star?
Okay. So it is called Showbiz Kids. Mm-hmm. Put a different spotlight on child act. Oh, that's the NPR thing. It's just called Showbiz Kids.
Showbiz Kids.
I highly recommend, like I said, HBO, and it talks mostly to like child actors from like 80s, 90s, so the kid who is in E.T.,
mm-hmm.
What's Her Face, who is in Westworld now.
Oh, I'm
okay.
Terrible. Yeah, I watch a lot of television.
Yeah, it is just so fascinating to hear about their experiences like growing up, and a lot of it is like how it wasn't even their choice to do it. It was a lot just like, yeah, mom and dad, I thought that was what everyone was doing. Like, some kids
after school. I thought that's just what we did.
Yeah, I thought some kids after school, like, now I know, like, they went to ballet or soccer practice. And my town growing up, after school, mom and dad picked every kid up and they all went to auditions.
Yeah.
Like, everyone in my class. That's such a bizarre thing thinking about.
Mm.
In growing up in Southern California, I had a number of friends through theater there that did... Like, every weekend was just hop in the car, you know, 6 a.m, drive up to L.A. and just audition and do stuff for Disney Channel, see if you can get a commercial for McDonald's, whatever. And I have a distinct memory of going over to play Xbox with a friend of mine, and the Xbox home screen at the time, you know, has, like, tiles of all the different stuff.
Yeah.
And strangely, and I, you know, have opinions about this in another time, also shows advertisements. It's like you already paid how many $100s for this device to play the game, and then you're still going to show me ads. Yeah, but to be fair, this advertisement was a California anti-smoking campaign thing.
Okay.
But strangely, my friend Aaron had been in a California anti-smoking campaign ad, and so we turn on Aaron's Xbox, and the little Xbox tile is Aaron looking back at us for this advertisement.
Hilarious.
Which has got to have been, like, got to felt pretty cool for him.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm on the fucking Xbox home screen. But yeah, all that to say, it was definitely a thing.
But that's like, think about how many other people, when they opened their Xbox, just saw Aaron's face.
Yeah, that's what's kind of surreal to me.
And that's what I think about, and at the time you're like, yeah, that's super surreal. But then you realize those kids have no agency, just like in Kid Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their parents were like, yeah, you can go on this Kid Nation show.
That's,
like,
yeah, that's the other thing I saw a lot, is it was their moms and dads were a little bit...
giving, like, access to, like, the children's, like... image, whatever, like, they're minors.
Yeah, was it you that said yesterday something about, I think in California specifically, because it's happened so much there, laws about parents not being able to access funds made by child stars?
Yeah, so it's my impression, and I think there's more to it, it's called the Coogan Law, that Coogan, and it's applicable to child performers in California, and it's essentially to protect them from the parents just pimping them out to studios, like, that's what it is. And so, notably, in this description of it, they use the phrase age of majority. I just want that on the record. Not to be confused with age of Aquarius or something.
The majors are coming in and taking the minors' money.
Yeah. So it's named for Jackie Coogan, who was, at the time, a child star, earned literally millions of dollars as a child actor, and then became an adult and found out that his mother and stepfather had basically spent it all. And so they just used their son and made a bunch of money and then spent it. And, like, that was fine to them.
Right. Because then, like... because it goes to them, because they're the adults, but that he has no agency in what happens to that. And when you become an adult, you're like, all the money I made from my work is gone.
Yeah, so the Coogan Law, as I understand, this is not intended to be legal advice in any way, shape, or form.
But
is,
unless.
No, it's not. It's not. That more or less, money earned and accumulated under a contract under the Coogan Law is the sole property of the child as a minor and becomes accessible to them at the age of majority. Like, it's theirs. And so the employer has to set aside 15% of the earnings into some sort of trust that is used for schooling and that sort of thing and time off. Because a lot of the time, if you're shooting on set as a kid, when you're not actively on camera, you're
learning.
Doing homework in a chair, in the dressing room, or, you know, whatever. Because you're still a student, most likely.
And child labor laws still exist.
Yeah, you still have to be getting an education and so forth. So it's fortunate, I suppose, that such a thing exists. And it's been around for, you know, 70 years or so, a little bit more, 80 years. But yeah, it's still kind of fucked.
It's wild to me that it exists in the first place. Like,
yeah.
Like I said, it's not even just the money thing. It's, for me, like, you were talking about the Xbox. It's the fact that people just see his face and he has,
yeah,
no agency over that. Like, the whole thing in the showbiz kids, there's multiple parents who were like, yeah, the public has still not seen one picture of my, like, 12-year-old child. Like, it is, like, my life's mission that nobody knows what this kid looks like.
Mm.
Because I didn't want that as, like, an 8-year-old. I didn't want the whole world to know what I look like and, like, recognize me. I wanted to go to school. Like,
yeah.
And my kid isn't on shows. I am an actor. Like, it's just wild to me. And the fact that, like, they have that right to, you know, like, protect their child's privacy or whatever. Because you see in magazines when people, like, have children, it even happens with weddings and stuff. It's like you sell the pictures to, like, a magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like when you have a baby, you're like, I will sell you the first pictures of my child to be in this magazine for money.
That's
so people know what your kid looks like. You're selling their image.
Is this, like, presumably done by celebrities?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Not just like you, there's like a service where you can,
like,
send in pictures of your child.
When I have my first child, whatever that means.
There's, yeah, you can go to the child pictures on the agency, like,
it's
sketchy.
It's celebrities, but I just.
Yeah, because it's. You're a minor, so you can't go making contracts that are legally binding, but also we're going to assume that if we say, do you want to be on TV? And you go,
yeah,
that's sufficient.
Yeah, I want to be on TV.
To stick them on TV with that. They're 8. How the hell do they know what the possible ramifications for that are going to be later in life? They can't.
No.
Because you don't even know. As you're producing it, you have no idea what this might do to the child's life.
And that's what's, like, some weird thing about it. Like, we watched an interview with Jimmy, who he was the youngest person on Kid Nation. Also, he leaves in episode 1 because he's 8 years old. He's 8 years old.
He says himself, I think I'm too young for this, which is awesome.
He's so lucky. Please at least watch episode 1 and you'll notice Jimmy multiple times. He goes, I'm only 8 years old. I'm too young for this. I shouldn't be
here.
He's
the only rational human
being, so logical.
Including the producers on
and
that
then,
set in Bonanza.
We watched an interview with him at 21, which is this year. So he's like our age, which is kind of weird to think about. And he's just talking about, like, he's like, I'm going out to medical school in the fall. Like, that's not, the media is not what he's into anymore. Like, that's not his field.
Was he ever into it in the first place, though? No.
So
like,
what,
parents,
yeah.
Just,
no,
like,
I think,
like,
well,
he said, he was like, as a kid, I wanted to be an actor. I thought that was cool. But he was also 7.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and there's no way of knowing.
So he's like, I wanted to be on TV. So they did the auditions, whatever. But just to be like, now he's like, going to try to become a doctor. But he will always have been on Kid Nation.
Yes.
And, like, that will always exist and people will know about it.
I hope that the area that he's trying to go into of becoming a doctor is a doctor of psychology. And he's going to be
It is sadly not.
He wants to be an oncologist.
Gosh darn it, Jimmy.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's going to
save
people from
cancer.
Yeah.
He's going to be a child psychologist already.
Come on, Jimbo. There might be a conflict of interest with him being a child psychologist. Like, I know little to nothing about child psychology. I've said this once,
so
I'll say it again.
He can make his own show.
Yeah, like, I feel like that's how you end up with someone like the child psychologist on the set of Kid Nation. You know, I had to go through this when I was 8. So too will you. But, yeah, child... Because then, I mean, to look at the other side of it, I suppose, like, for the kids for whom it is a good experience and for consumers of seeing talented act, like, something like Stranger Things or similar, like, that's a really terrific opportunity. For now, like, we'll see, I suppose, we don't know, I suppose, what it'll look like for them going forward.
I mean, like, half of them ended up in It.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Half of them ended up in It. Like, everyone knows them.
The actors in the Harry Potter movies who, like, they were set as a result of that experience, and they got to be a part of a project that grew as they grew, and they were off doing
movies.
Other stuff. And so it's not, we're not advocating for, like, no one under the age of 18 in media.
Not.
But I agree with you that it's like, it feels like there hasn't been enough thought into...
I think there are some, like, the most impressive, like, performances for me are, like, the ones that are from, like, really good kids. Like, in the movie Room, is it Jacob Tremblay?
I haven't seen that.
Room,
that
you said?
Seen Room.
I've seen Room, yeah.
I think his name is Jacob Tremblay.
I was about to say where they're in the room. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, fucking...
Gabe, I would highly recommend...
Jacob Tremblay, yeah.
Yeah,
It's a good movie.
So he was like 8 or something at the time, but I think he was playing a 5-year-old.
Yeah. Oh. That's the one where I forgot he was an actor.
Yeah,
I was like, this is just
exactly
the
what
kid.
I mean. Like, and he carried the movie. It was narrated
nice.
From his point of view.
Oh, cool.
And he was like up for an Oscar, an Academy mm-hmm. Award or something, like at 8 years old. And his performance was just incredible.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it enables, like, from the point less of, like, can we sell this and so forth, but, like, media as a form of narrative and storytelling and, like, building empathy. If you don't have kids in it, you can never have something like this where it's
yeah.
from a kid's perspective, which
so
can be so valuable for
is,
adults
yeah.
to see and experience.
So I'm at a loss because
yeah.
it's equally, for me, like, both, like, so intriguing, like,
yeah,
but also...
And it's interesting, especially, like, if you're thinking of the acting side of it, there's technically a binary of, well, they're either going to continue pursuing this or not.
Yeah.
You know? And you have some people like Jimmy, who's like, I'm going to medical school now. And that was something I did when I was 8, and I was on that show.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have, like, people who end up as big actors, or at least just pursue
yeah,
that
I'm
career.
Or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which is so interesting. It's like, oh, that's something I did. Or it's like, no, that's something I did, something I'm continuing doing. And there's benefits and problems to both sides. There's like a lot of stuff about people who learn how to act when they're 5 don't know how to act when they're 25.
Yeah.
Because they just say words. Whereas vice versa, like they have so much experience. And then on the other side, like if you're going to medical school, then it's like this cool thing you did, but also maybe like this weird thing you did.
Yeah.
There's another thing in the show that these kids that they talked about now that they're like adults, this was something they did in the 80s or 90s, is that when they were like probably really popular when they were like a cute kid.
Mm.
Like that's
yeah,
how
like,
the kid of AET, like he was a
mm-hmm.
cute kid and that was his thing.
And then you hit 13, you get braces and pimples,
oh, yeah,
and you're like,
said,
oh god.
Really?
Yeah, then they get a 16-year-old to play the roles.
It was like whenever people were like, yeah, we want the kid from ET, and they'd call him in for auditions, they were expecting, even like 5 years later, this like 8-year-old kid. And he's like, no, I'm like 13 now.
I can't, I don't have control
he's
over
like,
it.
He's like, I also don't look like that. I don't
yeah.
want
yeah.
roles like that. And then people were immediately like turned off. They wouldn't even bring him into auditions.
Yeah.
Like they would look at him in the like waiting room.
That's
and not
what
like,
I need. Yeah.
No, and they'd send him away. And he was just talk about, and a couple of them talked about, like, how wearing on, like, the self-esteem that is. To be like, I was so famous, everybody wanted
yeah.
me, I was 8 years old, and everybody was like, everybody loved me.
It's just as inexplicable how popular you were when you were 8, because you're just looking around, and you have a trailer to yourself, and you have
yeah.
whatever, and now...
A couple years later, like, nobody
without
cares
explanation,
about you, and
yeah,
you're trying
refuse.
To get parts, and people aren't giving it to you, and he was like, that was horrible on his self-esteem.
Yeah.
That's...
While you're, like... prepubescent, like that's
right, and he's doing well now, and I've seen on a couple things recently, but like Macaulay Culkin
yeah.
with the,
right.
like Home Alone movies and stuff like that, and then he just like this he talks about it, he's like the same thing happened where they're like no one like
you're
I didn't look like
kid.
Kevin McAllister anymore
yeah.
I got older and people were like what you changed and like yeah
no.
physically I grew up and then like he went through it a lot, and then I think he's doing better now. He went through like a bad period with it, but I've seen him on things recently. I'm like, I'm glad to see you're doing all right because
absolutely.
You went through a specific type of trauma that like a small group of people go through.
Yeah,
Macaulay Culkin, if you're listening to this,
oh, we love you.
We feel for you, buddy.
Yeah, you're great. No, I've seen him crop up in a couple of YouTube videos actually
yeah.
recently, guest appearing on other people's channels doing stuff, and it's hilarious. And he's great, and I appreciate that he's unabashedly. Himself in those
mm-hmm.
because it's there are you know riffs on in one of the videos I saw the guy doing the Home Alone face
yeah,
to him
hands.
And he literally just has Macaulay just looks at him and just goes oh, fuck off and walks out of the room. It's hilarious and I appreciate that he doesn't
like,
evidently
scream
yeah,
punch a wall
yeah feel like he needs to or feel like he needs to go oh haha yeah that was and then move on like he's not
yeah.
he's just
yeah.
being himself so yeah Macaulay you're pretty cool.
This episode goes out to Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, I'll find a way to email it to him, and if you want to come on, Macaulay, that'd be awesome. We're going to be remote. We all have a lot of time
yeah.
in the coming weeks, so let us know. And if you know Macaulay Culkin as well, like this is a good opportunity to pass that along.
The Home Alone house is near where Claire and I are from.
Oh, yes, I remember you talking about this.
Chicago, Chicago.
It was filmed all around that area.
Neat.
Yeah.
Full disclaimer, James and I are... Not from
Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
The Chicago area.
The Chicagoland area.
I feel like I need to specify that before.
Yeah, like northern suburbs.
I get angry letters in my
from true Chicagoans. What is what is the endonym for someone from Chicago?
A Chicagoanite.
Chicagoanite? No. You got two suffixes?
Chicago.
That's what I would like to call them.
But you're not a Chicagoanite, so...
No, I'm not, so it's what
I
call
I can't.
Them. The Chicagoans might call themselves Chicagoans, but I'll call them a Chicagoanite.
Yeah.
Chicagoite is pretty bad.
Chicagoite. Yeah, it's just really Chicago-ite. Abrasive, Chicago-ite. The switch between vowels there.
So, Gabe, I'm curious to know what you brought that does relate to kids, but does not relate to bambinos.
Yeah.
It doesn't, I mean,
the
theoretically... Yeah, it has to do with goats.
That's what I thought.
It doesn't not relate to bambinos. So this is a little bit of wordplay that I'm proud of that I thought of just before we started rolling. That primarily what I want to talk about, like, I mean, yeah, goats, little, like, kids, right? Like, young goats under a year old. But I'm also interested in talking...
What is the age of majority for goats?
I don't know if it's majority in legality, but
did
as
I
far
have
as
one?
Switching from referring to it as a kid or a goat, I think is about a year.
Okay. So the age of majority is a year.
But it's not, I don't think age of majority means that. Like, that's not...
The thing that caught my eye about age of majority, I realized it was major compared to minor. It confused me for the first minute after reading it. I was like, majority, meaning if you, I guess if you took the average age of everyone, it would
be
above 18. But,
but I don't think...
You're in the majority.
Yeah, but then if you're using that number,
but then would that,
I'm sure
the
would
age would go up and down a little bit every year.
I mean, then any. I mean, like, 12 and under is also the minority. Like, the majority... You see what I'm saying? Like, there are more people over the age of 2 than under the age of 2.
That's true.
But 2 is not the age of majority.
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
Just briefly to address that, I suppose. No, but I'm interested in talking about satyrs and fauns.
Ooh.
The
devil.
This is the joke. They are half kid and half kid. Also, kids are half satyr, and so are kids. Kids are half satyr, and kids are half satyr.
Every square is a rectangle.
That's wild.
What does that word make you do, Claire?
It makes me think of Percy Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
His
the
best friend,
friend
was a satyr.
Yes.
And that is, like, my only interaction with the word satyr that I think I've ever had in my life.
What about Mr. Tumnus in Language of the Wolf?
He also, I guess, is a satyr. That's
yes.
He's a faun, and that's where it starts to get a little wacky, depending on who you look to.
What about the god Pan?
Yeah, so Pan is sort of the OG as far as the, like, Greek and Roman canon is concerned. There are versions of things like...
What is he, a flute?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are versions of things adjacent to satyrs and fauns, kind of, sort of, as far as, like, goat men, that go much further back than the Greek and Roman accounts of them that we have. There's some indication that it was present in Indian mythology and so forth, but for when you think of satyr or the word satyr or faun, that's going to be Roman and Greek. And so it's Pan, and then Pan to satyr, and then satyr to faun is sort of the way of thinking of it. Satyrs were apparently a little bit more aggressive. Those are the Greek persuasion. Well, no, they're depicted almost always with, and I want to use the phrase that I got from this article, that they have a, quote, permanent and exaggerated erection in most of their depictions. They hung out with Dionysus, and they were very rapey. It's problematic.
I have to ask.
Yeah.
So their bottom half is goat.
Yes.
Sort of. So here's a...
So is it...
A goat.
A goat?
Here's a...
I think it would be a goat.
Depiction of one...
But is it a goat?
I think it's a goat.
Here's a depiction
I don't think
of
we...
One
can we say that live on air? Wait, is...
That doesn't look like a...
So it's got...
Oh,
It's got tail. It's got hairy, it's a particularly hairy face. He's got a big pointed beard.
Does he have three legs?
Horns.
No, I think that's cloth hanging down.
It is. He has an exaggerated erection and then a cloth that's been, like, draped over the exaggerated erection that's hanging down, like a loincloth, but you're hanging it off of your exaggerated erection, which is not terribly effective.
It doesn't cover it at all.
But I don't think the intent is. So yeah, that's satyrs, but they're... I'm not as...
Medically, they have great blood flow.
So that's where satirism. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to be able to pronounce it, but the word satyrosis, I think, there's a medical term that is used to mean, like, hypersexual.
Oh.
That derives from satyrs.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah, I mean, sort of. Not really, kind of. Like I said, I mean, we have to address the fact that in hanging out with Dionysus, they frequently tried to, like, capture and rape nymphs. Like, that was part
of
the character.
Cool.
They weren't... you know, they didn't succeed usually, but still.
Yeah, Macaulay Culkin, this episode is for you. Satyrs, get out.
Yeah, Satyrs, yeah. This episode is not for you. Fawns are a little bit more pleasant.
Mr. Tumnus.
Yeah, yeah. And they're those are the more, when you think, like, bottom half goat, top half human.
Okay, okay.
Like, pretty cleanly, so maybe little horns as
split
well.
Split down the middle.
Yeah, yeah. And like a little goatee.
Goatee.
But they're... And they've got, you know...
is that what it's called? Is that
I don't actually know the etymology of goatee.
Is that why it's called a goatee?
But let's hop on over to etymonline.com, which I would highly recommend if
Gabe
you're interested
words.
In etymology. I'm curious about the origin of a goatee.
Not to be confused with emetophobia.
One more time?
Not to be confused with emetophobia.
What's emetophobia?
The
fear of vomiting. Okay, I was like, is that
yeah, don't
is
confuse
that
the
one?
Two.
Don't.
We've taught you two words today. Don't confuse them.
So it is. No, it is directly from goats. Goatee
That's
is
so funny.
Likely.
Because it fits with what goats look like.
Well, yeah, it's the resemblance of a male goat's chin hairs, which is a wonderful sequence of four words. Male goat's chin hairs.
It's in my band name.
That's a good tongue twister. Male goat's chin hairs.
Male goat's chin hairs.
It feels like one of those things that you would see on a kid's menu that's like, say this fast and figure out what it means. You know what I mean? Like where they take a phrase and mess it up to try to like, right, you have to sound it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so fawns, and they're typically like pretty jolly, and they're like running around in the forest playing wind instruments and just sort of hanging out. It's usually like a wood flute of some sort.
Yeah.
A piccolo type thing, I think. But I wouldn't be surprised.
I know it's usually...
Well, there's. I'm thinking of the one that's like a shepherd, like multiple... I think piccolo is the... Right,
like pipes? The, yeah,
like
a couple
wood.
Pipes that you
a
wrote.
A piccolo is this.
Oh, piccolo is that. You're right. I'm thinking of...
I think it's a wood flute. Like
yeah, wood flute. Thank you for that.
Kind
yes,
of like
it's...
a harmonica, but a flute.
What's a lute?
A lute
that's
is
strings.
A stringed instrument.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know that they... I have no...
Embarrassed yet again.
I have no reason to believe that
don't
they
get that confused with
emetophobia. Yeah, so they would just sort of... hang out and dance. There's almost like bardic in a way that they would just sort of like roam the forest playing these instruments and like distracting travelers. And
no one here's a bard, right?
No.
Okay.
In our D&D campaign, none of us are bards.
I thought you meant in real life, and I was like, prove that I'm not.
In real life, you are absolutely a bard.
Were there a better system for like
being a bard?
I mean, this would be like patronizing, like having a patron. Then I think I would be more interested in pursuing a bardic career. I think that would be quite interesting. Like court jesters should be a thing again, so I can have a job.
The White House should have an official court jester.
There are many comments to be made here on the topic of whether or not there are court jesters in the White House, but I think that is best left in the minds of the listeners. Yeah, so that's I basically just fawns and tossing that out, and then briefly the query as I made in the joke of Kid that like. We are all half centaur, for instance,
yes.
Comparably half fawn, although maybe less so because they have goat horns and like features in the top half that are.
That's true. I think they're like 60% goat, probably.
Yeah, it's hard to say because sometimes they're depicted pretty short. Like the goat leg part is pretty stumpy.
True.
Which is one, like I'm thinking of Phil in Hercules.
Right.
The like he is like portly on the top half and just a little bit of goat. Versus what I think when you think of like a nice illustration of one where they've got like human length legs that are goat legs.
Yeah.
And it's a little, like the same way
that's
a centaur
true.
Is like grander and taller and bigger.
Whereas it's usually goat length legs.
Yeah, which is much funnier to me. Like,
I just brought back a memory. I haven't
please.
Seen Hercules in a long time.
It's
when
great.
I was a small child, I loved Phil so much.
Great character. It's Danny DeVito.
That doesn't really surprise me either. And it explains something.
Yeah, if you guys don't know Claire, this is a good way to know Claire.
I loved Phil growing up. Man, like everybody's like, oh, Hercules, the hunk. And I was like, I wasn't attracted to Phil, don't get me wrong. I was just like, this is the character that I like.
This guy's funny.
Yeah.
I just love, that it was Danny DeVito and they were like, can you sing? And he was like, I can do the words on the beat.
Like,
and,
sure.
I just so you wanna be a hero, kid? Well, whoop-dee-doo. That's how the song starts. Whoop-dee-doo.
Well, I wouldn't pay for behind-the-scenes footage of Danny DeVito in the studio.
Yeah, he gets
being
into
Phil.
It.
Yeah, I would love that. That's one
they
of my favorite things.
A documentary about it. It's just called Being Phil.
Being Phil.
I was ready for one that's just called Danny. That's just like Danny DeVito.
Danny!
Because I would also be interested in that. He is a human being. I don't think it's up anymore. There was a website where you could put in your height and it would tell you how many Danny DeVito's tall you are.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Why would it be taken down?
I don't know. I think that the person who put it up is just no longer paying for hosting or something like that. I don't think it was like actively taken down as an act of slander.
Said this is slander.
Hey!
Hey!
I think the same one also
figured out how
many... Danny DeVito!
The same site had other conversions, like how many Dorito chips tall you are and some other things. Just as
a
novelty.
Lot more subjective. Every Dorito's...
Yeah, I'm assuming they had some sort of like platonic Dorito that they used as their unit of measurement. There's like a Dorito under a like bell jar somewhere in a museum somewhere that is
the
like
first
the
Dorito.
Dorito. Well, they have that with like the meter stick and like the kilogram that are just like preserved.
It's the pure kilogram.
Didn't know that.
But about satyrs, fauns, centaurs, and all that.
And then
it
I
is,
feel like it's unfair. This isn't a judgment of you because I brought them up, but lumping centaurs in with satyrs and fauns.
It's a different animal.
Separate,
different animal. Yeah.
But also, I think separate mythos and separate history and so forth.
It is
but
interesting.
But part human, part not human.
Yeah, so the idea of like
Percy Jackson world.
That's true.
Because Rick Riordan is just grabbing everything he can get his hands on.
Part human, part not. Rick Riordan wrote. I don't know if he's still writing. Rick rolled another series, which is basically the same premise as Percy Jackson, but it's with the Egyptian mythos.
I remember I started reading it.
What? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chronicles. I remember reading the first.
It was about Raw and everything.
Wasn't it? Did he? Never mind. No, I'm mixing it up with a different fantasy series. Go on.
Just like this repeated idea of like half human, half something else, and it's always the top half, which is human.
Mm.
Imagine the alternative.
I know.
Which is so much funnier.
The funniest one is the alternative for a mermaid. Legs of a human. Head
body
of
a fish. I hope you're picturing what I'm picturing, which is where, like, it's just legs running. The top half is just like an exaggerated.
But they
it's
can't
huge.
Run because the fish can't breathe out of water. They have to be just swimming with their legs.
That or it's running on the floor of the like the sea floor. I like that image a lot. Because to me it's like the news anchor in SpongeBob where it's like fish oriented upward.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's exactly it.
That's where it's not like the fish goes forward and flops. It's literally like a profile.
I also imagine fish upward, but I kind of like the idea of fish horizontal with legs.
Oh, like an eel.
There's a series of stickers I think in WhatsApp that's a dude with like essentially a Magikarp fish head, but he's wearing a business suit. It's very. I'll see if I can find those
good.
For you.
But yeah, just about this idea, like the top half's always human. And this book I was reading recently, which like part of it takes place in a fantastical world, I guess. Part of it takes place in a fantastical world, and the main character gets injured, and he ends up in like kind of like a hospital nursing center, but run by centaurs. And I don't know, the way the author depicted centaurs was so funny to me because he depicted them as like the most like mightier than thou. To use a very apt phrase, on a high horse, people just like always like looking down on everyone, especially humans, because they felt bad for humans. They felt like they were part of some like cosmic mistake.
Oh, you didn't get the horse part, did you?
Yes, and they were like, "We're so sorry for you that like something got messed up, and you were left in like." This puny, like weak little body. You don't have what we have. And I'm like, that was so funny. Yeah, little piss boy with your legs. I got four of them. So I like that idea of perhaps like satyrs, fauns, anything with like that's half another animal looking at humans or the other animal just being like, "Jeez, I'm so sorry for you."
Is there a thing where my
there are
the
definitely.
Sphinx. No, not the Sphinx.
That's the head of a human body and everything else and everything else.
Like lion. There's a griffin. That's eagle wings.
Yeah. Oh, God. I can picture. I mean, there's a rock is just the big bird. I'm trying to think of just head of an eagle. I know there's a race in Dungeons and Dragons that's like an avian humanoid type thing. Like it's shaped like a human. Yeah.
Maybe I just made that up.
I mean,
not impossible.
That's the thing is, you can.
I want to briefly show you Everyday Business Fish, which is Facebook Messenger. So you can
Facebook
go and
Messenger.
Check this right now. But it's just.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of unsettling, to be honest.
I don't love it.
That's upsetting.
But it's. I'm not going to lie, it's pretty funny. Like, the image of.
Oh, I like the one of him dancing. If you Google it, I believe it's the fifth image.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So check that out, Everyday Business Fish.
Everyday Business Fish.
Do you want to start wrapping up?
Yeah.
Anything burning to address? What if Kid Nation was just goats? And we put a bunch of goats
in
the desert.
They do have goats.
They do have goats.
And there was one wonderful shot of, like, out of nowhere, it just cut to this, like, 9-year-old girl milking the goats. And I think we all screamed. Because we're like, she's milking the goats! That's insane!
Yeah, no, she mentions we have a bunch of goats on our farm back home.
Yeah, I just cannot imagine if they were to put me in Kid Nation, even at the age of, the right age of 20, that I am.
I would not do well.
I would be there and I'd be like, oh my. They just know how to feed the chickens and get the eggs. Like, I would be so skittish. Like, do the chickens want me to grow up their
eggs
now?
No, I'll give the kids credit. They
how
are...
much food am I supposed to give them?
They do much better than you think they would.
Oh, yeah. Briefly, the second challenge is this thing where they're transporting water from one side to the other using PVC pipes. And one of the kids says something to the effect of, I've done a lot of work with PVC. And it's like...
You're 15!
So, you're 15, you've worked as like a...
It's the same kid who says, like,
butcher.
I've done a lot of work as a butcher.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounds like. Is, yeah, I've just done a lot of PVC work. A little bit of drywalling, like...
So I'm more impressed with these kids than with anything I could do. I mean, if that's his part-time jobs, his all of his part-time jobs at 15, I need everyone, all the viewers, listeners at home, to know that my part-time job since I was 15 was dressing up as a pirate and doing silly little songs and dances and shows for toddlers.
Which is also pretty damn
so
good.
So I want
it's
to
apt.
Know what that would have gotten me, that experience would have gotten me on Kid Nation, anything,
you,
and not just being
well,
the court jester for the council.
As one of the final images of Kid Nation to bring up, there's, during the first episode, a girl named Sophia, who, she's on the laboring class, she gets paid 2 nickels per day, she spends them both because she can't afford anything. And she's like, this is ridiculous, like, I need more money. So she goes to the town square, puts a jar in front of her and starts just dancing. There's no music.
She's just
there's
she's
no
just
singing.
Rhyming.
She's just dancing, and people are like, "What are you doing?" And she goes, "I'm dancing for money."
And she makes enough money to
she
purchase
makes,
a bike.
She makes a lot of money.
But it's yeah, it
she's
was
14
really
years old. And
something.
One of the best moments is like one kid comes up to her and he starts putting a couple coins in the jar, and she goes, "Oh, thank you. Do you want me to dance for you?" And he says, "No,"
and then walks away.
I think so
too. It was so
which
uncomfortable.
Is also effective. You just
it was
walk up
so
to the
uncomfortable.
And scream and pay me to
it's
stop.
The first day I'm just gonna dance in the town square until people pay me.
Yeah. Kid Nation, check it out. Satyrs.
Check him out.
Not Satyrs. Fawns. Check him out. Fuck Satyrs.
Fuck Satyrs.
Check him out.
Check Macaulay Culkin out. He's done great work.
Yeah. Any other closing thoughts?
I wish I had a pot to bang right now.
We can put it in if you want. Oh, are we gonna go get a pot for her to bang?
No.
Can you get me a spoon too?
No.
Okay, good. While he's not doing that, I'm here to say thank you so much. If you want, we can do. You're welcome to just.
And my name is.
Jesus, that was particularly loud. It was effective.
I learned it all from Phil.
Thank you, Phil.
And now we'll say our names.
Yeah. So now that we've done that. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Gabe.
Mine was Pot, but also Claire.
The Claire formerly known as Pot.
And I'm James.
Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you're doing all right.